Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
It is my absolute, and I say absolute, privilege to welcome Shailene to the pulpit. Can you give her a massive hand this morning? We challenged our leaders last year and we said, if you have faith, then you better preach. And these are the leaders that have jumped up and they're ready to preach. So, Shailene, we just bless you this morning as you share the word. May this be the start of a fire that burns in your heart. May it burn brighter than ever before as you bless this church with what the Holy Spirit has placed on your heart. So we just bless you. Amen. Go for
it. Is there a preaching fly? Because it came to find me, literally over there. The one that hovers around Daniel the altar. It's an anointed fly. Good morning. Thank you for being here for this unexpected moment of yours. You didn't know you were going to be privy to this, the first of this moment in my life. But I wanted to say it's a blessing to be part of this body because you get to be loved, you get to open up, you get to be vulnerable, and you get to make mistakes and still come back and still come back. And that is a genuine feeling. I want to thank you for it from here as well. Okay, guys, first things first. Lord, your presence is weighty in the room. I don't know if it's just my nerves, but I'm going to call it your presence. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for being gracious. Thank you for the community of all believers where we each get to have something that's genuine from you and bring it with integrity because you bless the words of our lips. You bless the acts of our hands because you place something deep inside of us and you will see it grow to fruition. So we bless you with us this morning, Father. May it be a fragrance. May we be receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. So straight off the bat, won't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33, one simple verse that the Lord actually highlighted to me. I was not anticipating that. Actually, I wasn't going there at all. I'd written two full preachers before this moment, and the Lord just said, okay, nice one, move on. And he gave me that. Matthew 13, verse 33, and in the ESV it says, he told them another parable. At this point, this is a chapter where he'd been speaking at length in parables to them about what the kingdom of God is, right? The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. I don't know, your translation may say something different. Let's go there again. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. Okay, the Lord blesses the reading of his word. Let's unpack this. Okay. The word leaven. I don't know if any of you are into baking in any way or are aware of just how much the process of fermentation affects our life. Hands up if you knew that chocolate is made by disgusting microbes. Did you know? Right? Okay, what about coffee? Were you aware of that? How about cheese? That's obvious, right? It grows on the outside. And what about bread? The original process of making bread in the time of the ancient Israelis or any Mediterranean or Arabian culture as bread makers, because the staple grain in those lands is wheat, was an arduous process. Bread making was something you had to earn. And I don't know about you, but if you're going to put in the effort, it must be because you really, really need the thing, right? So the first thing that bread accomplishes is to feed us. But the word leaven is particular to that feeding process. Because in the homes of Israelite people, no one had a convenient stove. Everybody didn't have a stove packed there. There was like a communal oku-baked bread for everyone. And you would do the effort of harvesting wheat. You would take those heads of wheat off individually, although there is a sky, the thing you use to take them all off. And then you bring them into your home. And you use what you call a mill. So it's nice to send stuff to a milling house now, and you just go to Checkers and you buy yourself 2.5 kgs of Sasco and you make yourself a bread. And if you're very usually, like some of us who use stone ground flour, it's still made by somebody else. Okay, but in the homes of those people, it wasn't. You have a nice big rock basin that you forged yourself, or you can buy it from the guy who's a stonemason. And then there's a big fat rock in the middle of it, and you chuck those heads of wheat into that, and you work it. and you work it. And how many of you know that'll develop a tricep? I love it already. But hours and hours later, you have fine flour. But what they didn't do, what they didn't do was remove anything from it. You've done all that effort. You've harvested the heads of wheat. You've put them into the rocks. You've ground them till you're blue. Hopefully not. Maybe these women were really, really strong. I don't know. But you have produced a flour that is whole in itself. It's got everything in it that the flour was given by God himself, that's not great, to produce life within your body. So now, contrast that whole process of effort with what we do with a loaf of bread today, how easy it is to go to Checkers and buy yourself a loaf of something, whatever your preference. I have no brand issues. But that loaf of bread, if you had to put it here under your foot or on this thing, on this platform, and you squish it, it'll come down to the size of roughly a slice of bread. So if you give this to children, and we all do, we all grew up on this bread and you just want more and more, but what it's doing is giving you a whole bunch of emptiness. There's nothing in it to produce that feeling of being fed. So if you've come famished to the table and you chow a slice of instant bread, it's soft. It looks great. It tastes great in a toasted cheese. It's convenient. It's always there when you need it. But because there was no effort put in to producing that flour, there's no substance. And they've also removed everything useful from the bread. So your stomach can't process it. And that's why most of us are intolerant to some gluten in some way. It's not the fault of gluten. It's the fault of manufacturing, mass producing. Did you know, though, leaven, let me speak about that, is innate inside the bread. If you look it up in a dictionary, Merriam-Webster dictionary, leaven looks as follows. It is both a noun and a verb. Who remembers language classes from anywhere? Did you know foreigners learn our language, English at least, our language here is Afrikaans, but they learn it better than we do. They learn every part of speech and its usage so much better. But if you look it up in the dictionary, this is what it is. As a noun, leaven is a substance, such as yeast, used to produce fermentation in a dough or a liquid. Hence my reference of tasty things coming from awesome microbes that float around in the atmosphere and produce life you can't see. Leaven does the same thing, produces life in a place you can't see. Then, B, it is a material, such as baking powder, used to produce a gas that lightens dough. Right. Okay, so the word gas isn't always negative. It's fun and cool drink. But actually, that without that, the bread would be flat. I know we all like a wrap, we all like a bit of a pizza or a thing, a flatbread, we think it's novel, but truly there's nothing quite like a fresh, risen loaf of bread full of air that's been permeated by this secret bacteria. That sponginess is what gives you that unctuous flavor, and never mind the smell that comes from yeast. Come on, bread plays on your senses in a thousand ways. But let's come back to number C, something that modifies or lightens. How did you know? Yeast has the responsibility of lightening the bread, so it's not like a rock. Have you ever baked bread yourself? Put a batch of dough on this side where you've used yeast that's expired, no longer has life. Or you put a batch here that has no yeast in it. And then you come here with the fresh stuff that you've bought from your little instant packet. And you put that in this dough. And then in this lump of dough, you use a sourdough starter. If you had to stand back and watch what each of those balls of dough would do, what do you think would happen? Which one would rise the most beautifully? Which one would exude the biggest smell? Which one would produce a dense loaf? This thing's going to stay here and be smooth and small forever, and nothing in it. You're going to roll it flat and it's like pizza dough. This one will definitely not react because that yeast is dead. The thing that was meant to bring life isn't there. This one will produce life because you can mass produce anything. You can come to church and be fed, and it can make temporary or visible fruit from the outside that's light, that's visible enough. It's there. It's present. But if you have something that was grown from deep inside of you, that was manufactured by the Creator, planted inside a loaf, it produces something you cannot fake. You can't make it any other way. Okay, moving on. Let's go there to the top. As a verb, the action of fermentation, a leaven needs to be built. Starter makes leaven rise, but leaven makes bread rise. This is a process. If you need to feed a sourdough culture, if you don't feed it, it dies. If you continue to feed it, you can use it. But if you've removed some of your leaven and you want to introduce it into a loaf of bread and you don't use it in time, it will also die. Do you see how many parallels there are here? You could draw 1,000 different messages from just leaven. But it was exciting to me, right? Okay, so let's move back to the scripture so I don't get off track. That leaven, that fermenting, microbial miracle of God gets introduced into a loaf of bread. But if you've put it in, say for example you introduce your leaven and you step back, are you going to see it from the outside, the leaven itself? It will be invisible to you. So our life is like that. God has introduced himself, like in Jeremiah 1, we know, before I formed you, I knew you, and I destined you for great things, right? We know those scriptures. But the truth is, that's what he's doing with us. He's planted himself, the DNA of himself, the leaven of his kingdom, inside of us in a secret place, which is invisible to others. And I don't know if any of you struggle as I do, but I have this desire for it to look as though I'm doing something. Like, maybe it's just my character, my personality at least. But we're all driven in different ways. Maybe you're the kind that really believes you are shiny from the outside. You have the gold waxed. I'm not one of those. I really believe I have to work it up. God is wearing that out. He's using this very message to change that about me. But if you are like that, know that it's in there. This is what he's saying. He's saying the woman hid the leaven inside 3 measures of flour. She put it deep inside there. 3 measures of flour is 50 kilos. So there's another story to draw from that. A tiny bit of leaven, and she had to leave it till it worked its way through 50 kgs of flour. And you can produce about 100 loaves from that. Use about 0.5 kilo per loaf. Wow. How long does it take for that leaven to work its way through that much flour? That is the story of your life. He's placed himself inside you. Those healthy microbes are his spirit. It does a secret work. It infuses you with the Holy Spirit. Imagine that air, right? It's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring to fruition the thing that Christ did for us in our lives. But you had to commit. You had to say, yeah, plant that in me. Do it. But you had to believe also that he was going to do it. If you got saved when you were 5 or when you were 55, he did that same thing. He put leaven inside of your 50 kgs so that you will be feeding a nation with yourself by the time that work is done. But it's not edible until it's baked. Okay, so it is tantalizing. Let's leave it there. If you've put leaven inside a lump of dough and it's busy rising, what begins to happen in your senses? You can smell it. You can smell it. There's something happening. And it is the promise of something beautiful, but it's not a loaf of bread yet. That takes as much time as it takes, and you have zero control over it. That's what's unnerving for me. I love to control just so, because otherwise there's a giant risk, you know? What if it turns out purple? What if the microbes don't spread? What if? You have no control over what if. And I want to set you free today. I actually was drawn to Romans 1. I'm just going to quickly read it to you. It wasn't part of what was going on. But just listen to the scripture. We all know it. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For his invisible attributes," can't see it, "namely his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made." We are the things that have been made. Not just us, but you. So they are without excuse. Whether or not you can see from the outside, if I walk past Laura, I see the evidence of the Lord on her life because of the acts, but I haven't seen the 50 years she put into that relationship with him that produced this. I just see the fruit now. And each of us, I'm standing at 41 years, God has done. How many years is that I've been saved now? It doesn't matter, whatever, 34 years or something. There's evidence on me to a certain extent, but you haven't got a full baked loaf of bread standing here. There's nothing about me that makes me full on satisfactory to you. But I am to my Father because he sees, and same with you. He sees what he's put in, when he put it, and how far in the process he is in developing you. And nobody can take that from you. Okay, then what happens? Back to the Israeli home. We take that loaf of bread with the hidden leaven in it. It's now risen. She takes that 50 kgs and she chops it up into loaf-sized portions, puts them into clay jars or whatever it is you bake it in. Now she has to get all her sons. That's why we have so many sons, to carry all the loaves of bread. You know how it was in those times. To the baker, the central baker's house. And he has to time it that every woman who's coming with her bread at 4 a.m. Is going to have a nice loaf by the end of the day. So you can't overbake it. You can't over-rise it because it'll pop. It'll lose its capacity to do anything beautiful. The timing is crucial. Okay, why is bread the grain in the Mediterranean areas? It's because of the temperature. So if you make a nice loaf of bread, not only do you need a great leaven, you need heat. Two ways that heat happens. Firstly, by your hands, kneading the dough. That leaven has to get into the lump. How does that feel? If you are the dough, God is kneading the heck out of you. It's a soothing process. Sometimes it's a massage. Sometimes he's really going, I confirm what I'm doing. I'm speaking it over you. I'm getting it in there. But sometimes there's a stubborn little piece that doesn't want to move, and he's got to work it. And sometimes it's somebody else's hands doing it as well. How many of you are grateful for the work other people have had in shaping you? I am. I'm astronomically grateful that I don't have to do this alone. But God is the Father who shapes us well, and he doesn't let us worry about whether the leaven has reached the top right corner of my loaf or not. If you're worrying about that, take your mind off of it. Every part of you will rise. He promises in time, every part of you will rise. Okay, so she's divided it into portions. They're perfect. She takes it to the baker. He has prepared the oven. He's prepared the furnace at exactly the right temperature. And you don't have to worry that you'll be placed in, because you're being carried by him. He will put you in the fire, I promise. It's not nice. It's not nice. But when it comes out, the average loaf of bread takes an hour to bake. If you translate that into God's version of time, I don't know, whatever your lifespan takes, but you will produce something tall, something solid and soft on the inside, that beautiful crunch, that golden or chocolate brown coloring on the outside, whatever you prefer. When you smell that, it's different from your Albany sliced loaf, guys. It's a whole nother dimension of being fed. Okay, so you take that thing out of the, imagine a nice, beautiful sourdough loaf standing here. It's about so tall. And let me tell you something personal. I have a friend who is Albanian. Albania, if you don't know the map, is directly next to Greece. I am Greek. And so it was nice for me to meet this woman, because she speaks with this accent. And how many of you are connected to the culture you were born into? You were raised in the land of the blood in your veins. Quite few of us. I mean, very few of us were raised in the land we were originated from, in our blood. So I should technically be in Lebanon and in Greece, if you're looking at the map. But I wasn't raised there. I was raised here. So I don't actually have a concrete understanding of what that feels like, but she does. So I was like, I'm going to glean from you. And then she tells me her story. Her story is, she was forced, and I'm going to summarize it super quickly, forced to learn how to bake just to feed because of poverty as an expat. As a young person, when they came to the country, they had so little, and this forced her to become, cut 30 years later, to become an artisanal baker that feeds people and teaches them how to feed themselves well. And she describes bread as the source of life. And she knows Jesus and loves Jesus desperately, but she uses bread as a teaching tool. And we were having a meeting last week. She brought me one of these sourdough loaves. I didn't know why I was eating it then, right? But I will never forget that experience. She describes the process of making the leaven, of how the bread turns out. It's a 1 kg loaf. And I said, it's a choy. If you drop it on the ground, you'll hear it. Right. But when you slice through it, that's just the crust that's protecting what's inside. Inside it is soft and moist. And one slice is like a meal. Okay, that's what God's doing with our lives. He's taken you to the furnace at the end of a long journey of however many years of his spirit being drip-fed into the cells of your body and the nerves inside your brain and your experiences, and he's produced the right time to chuck you into the oven. Ow, I'm with you, I feel you. But yet, that will feed multitudes. That bread is not so that you can say, I believe you, Father, I am now a loaf of bread. No, it's so that you can be cut up and fed. People can eat from you. Your destination is not that loaf of bread, though, because you know without the process, there ain't going to be no bread, right? However you enjoy your bread, it's tasty. Pull it apart, slice it, whatever it is. But God has served you to a particular community at a particular time in many different ways, because that's 50 kilos. It's not one loaf, 100 loaves. He's going to feed people with you for the course of your life because he's really good at timing. Okay, but let's tie that into what it feels like to be waiting for the process. Let's go to John chapter 6 if you want to. John chapter 6, and I'm going to pull out just a few verses. Okay, first verse I want to draw on is verse 27. It says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Okay, do not labor for the food that perishes. So we're just speaking about a loaf of bread here, but every time you put your hands to the work he's given you to do, and something kicks inside of you that says, I know I was made for this, I know I was made for this, that is you in process with him allowing the leaven to work, even if it doesn't, okay, let's not talk about destinies and called into whatever, but even if it doesn't feel quite right, your spirit will register with whether you're in his process or not, right? I know in my life, sometimes I felt like I've put my hands to things just because I want to help or I want to, you know, whatever, tick lists or whatever it is. Any of that stuff has produced pain. That's not what God's process does. The leaven inside the lump is not hurting the lump. Okay, it's doing its work in secret, but he's not causing you pain. The work he gives you will, it might take a long time, and faithfulness, as we know, is rewarded in Scripture. It is. It's one of those marks of those that he can call his friends, is a faithful and a humble person. But it doesn't cause you pain. How we know that we're in the wrong loaf of bread or our yeast is dead, or it wasn't the Lord who planted that, is how the pain is caused. The Lord has planted a seed inside of you that witnesses with the work he's doing. And if your spirit is uncomfortable, then make a change, man. You know, make some sourdough starter and start again. Go in the right direction. But you want to produce flavor, right? There's another verse I want to draw on, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Okay, it's just the beginning of the verse. But that's true. And it's not just true because we get to walk in his footsteps. It's not just true because his body was broken for us to consume. That's everything. But it's also, he's given us to walk in his footsteps. He's given him to live that, us to live that same life and walk out that same journey of crushing, coming out of the field, going through the mill, keeping all of our goodness inside of us, putting inside some leaven, which is the spirit, growing that leaven throughout our whole life and eventually becoming a loaf of bread. That was what Jesus did. He was broken on the cross for us. That was his process. That was him feeding us, right? But we got to walk in that same process. And I'm not trying to highlight suffering here. That's not what I'm actually doing. I'm highlighting flavor. I'm highlighting sound and fragrance. Have you, when you cut a loaf of bread, have you heard that cut, that crack, right? That is what we do. We are a feast to people around us. Sometimes we're just one sense. They can see us. Sometimes they can see and smell us. Other times it's like, whoa. When the Lord, like last week, Sunday at church, the worship delivered up a feast to us that was tangible. Just tangible. And I felt it in all my senses. I could see it, smell it, taste it, whatever it is, whatever the missing ones will hear it. Moving on. Verse 44. "No one can come near to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Skip a few. "And they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." This is where I want to take a step back and look at the loaf of bread. And I just want to say, sometimes we get to the point where we feel we're ready to be used. You can feel, "Lord, I'm so primed. Let's do it," right? But then you're presented to somebody who is not receptive. And what do you do with that information? Is it your responsibility to ready the people for whatever it is you're doing? Whatever new idea you've come with, whatever strategy from the kingdom, it's not your responsibility whether the meal presented to the people is received by the people. What he's saying is, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You have the same function in the earth. Unless somebody is receptive in the moment, that wasn't your work to do. But he's presented you at the time, and you need to be faithful with serving up what you've got to give. Because they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to him. So if you're serving the feast of Christ to a receptive heart, they will be changed. It will feed them. You have no responsibility for the outcome other than to have been faithful with the process. So let me go back to here and see if I missed something. I think not. Okay. Yeah, I would like to read that scripture over you one more time. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Can I pray over you? Are we good? I think we might be a little short. A little bit short. No, I can carry on if you like. Okay. It was 30 minutes at home. Okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every man and woman, every little bit of destiny that you've brought to life this morning, the date and the time, our ages, our journeys with you. I bless you as the catalyst of all, the one who's planted invisible attributes of yourself inside of us, all of them. The one who causes time to partner with heat, to partner with ingredients and process. The one who sends people's hands to work us. Faithful ones, stewards of your presence, who come and knead that dough. And you yourself doing the secret work, Holy Spirit, of blowing air inside that causes lightness. And eventually, Father, we trust you. I just want to speak on behalf of all of us and say we trust you. And if there's a measure of distrust, Father, we give you that as well. Help me in my unbelief, Lord, as I see that you have presented a life, a fruitful life to me. And on behalf of all of us, we partner with you in the process of your baking. The thing you know the timing of, the thing you know the goodness of. And Lord, over every man and woman, where there is an emptiness, where there is a pain that feels like we might have used the wrong fermentation process or forgotten the yeast completely or taken too long, I just want to declare death to those lies in the name of Jesus. And in place of that, your truth to come shine like a rod of light, a beam of light into hearts and on minds, and to heal where there has been a feeling of inadequacy, and to be able to shine your light in glory on what is real, that loaf of bread you are baking is your doing. We release, Lord, if you felt like you want to control things, just open your hands to him now and say, I release the baking of my loaf of bread to you, and you will create a feast from my life because that is what you do. I trust you, Father. And I bless every man and woman now, just to wrap up, every man, woman, and child, and every family represented in this room. I bless them, Lord, to be in process with you in the secret place. And that every other, you say you are in charge of our reputations. You are in charge of how it looks from the outside. You are the one who receives all the buffeting for us. You're our shield and our refuge and our safe place. And we thank you for guarding that process. It's yours to God. And Father, we give to you freely. We release our fragrance, Lord. We are ready to be consumed in your timing. Thank you for blessing this body to receive you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Shailene. Yeah, come on. It was a moment where I just could see the slice and the steam and the salted butter. Yeah, just thank you so much. There's something I've been chewing on. This week, God says, I am that I am. And our response to the I am is, I'm becoming. And I just think that tied in so beautifully with His kingdom. It's just breathed into our spirit, and we're always in a constant process of becoming. Moses stood in front of God, said, show me your glory. And He gave him a ciabatta. No, just kidding. He said, I am that I am. And Moses realized, wow, that means we're becoming. Because there's only one being who is. And that's God. And so don't ever be tempted to think that you are it or have arrived. In the kingdom, you're always becoming. In the kingdom, you're always growing. Bless you, Shailene. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, come on. May you be blessed. Who's going to buy bread or make bread this week? I could see it. Auntie Lorraine, just in the prayer team, there was a word just over anyone who wants prayer over their throat. And so if that's you, the prayer team would love to pray for you. I want to invite the prayer team to come to the front. If you feel like, hey, you've been struggling with your throat, God wants to heal you. And also spiritually, if your voice hasn't been heard, if you haven't been able to speak the Spirit, I just felt that as well. Come forward, let the team pray for you with that. The rest, grab a cup of coffee. Just how beautiful teams ready to serve you. Give them a hand.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.